King versus Barnhart, please.
Good morning, Your Honors. Nathan Rugg on behalf of Plaintiff Appellant Nancy King. May it please the Court. King's past relevant work is critical to the ultimate finding of disability in this case. Because the administrative law judge found King to be limited to sedentary work, if she is unable to perform her past relevant work, then she will be found disabled under the medical vocational guidelines of the Social Security regulations. The ALJ entirely ignored a line of argument made by King at the hearing, which was supported by underlying medical evidence. This argument was as to her weakness in her left arm and the tingling in her hands and her fingers. The ALJ failed to bring up this testimony at all in her decision. The VE testimony at the hearing...
Didn't a neurologist of hers testify that she was able to sit and work?
That sitting is one of the issues, but this is not the one I'm addressing currently.
I said, didn't a neurologist testify to that fact, that she could?
It depends on which one you're asking about.
Her treating neurologist, didn't he testify?
Treating neurologist made no such statement. Her treating neurologist testified in 1993 that she could be capable of looking for sedentary work.
And did indeed, he say that she could continue her work as a medical
her treating secretary? Neurologist? No.
What?
No, he did not.
Did another physician also say that she never complained about this?
Yes, there was one physician who had a consultative examination over 45 minutes. It's the only time that it was Dr. Leon who saw the patient at one time. And that comment provides a snapshot of that examination, but not of her ability as a whole regarding her sitting. Furthermore,
Let me ask you this. This case was resolved by the ALJ at step 4 of the 5-step process, which is a step where she still bears the burden of proof. And although I agree with you that the ALJ doesn't discuss every last bit of testimony in the record, what the ALJ does do is make some credibility determinations, and she finds enough evidence in the record of a medical nature to support a finding that at the sedentary level, this lady was able to work. And taking all of that together, and given the substantial evidence review standard that we have, particularly, we often get these at step 5, where the burden's on the commissioner, but this is a step 4, how can we do anything but say that even though one might well have come out the other way, there was substantial evidence to support the decision that was reached?
For a couple of reasons. One, the ALJ here made several credibility determinations that are, in fact, contradictory with themselves, and they're contradictory with the evidence in the record. First of all, the ALJ found that King's complaints of pain to be credible, and specifically found that, accordingly, that she had limited abilities in standing, walking, and lifting. However, they found that there was no limitations whatsoever in her standing and her sitting abilities whatsoever. Now, this is directly contrary to the medical evidence and King's testimony.
But why did she have to believe all parts of King's testimony? I mean, there were people who had done range of motion tests and people who had done other kinds of tests on her that suggested, I don't think anybody thought this person was, you know, at the peak of health or comfortable or anything, but the question is, can you do a certain kind of work? And the ALJ took it all the way down to the sedentary level and said, well, at that level, yes. As I say, I certainly understand your point that there was other evidence the ALJ might have chosen to credit that might have said, no, she's got to sit 30 minutes and walk 30 minutes, and the vocational expert said, well, if that's the case, then there's no work. But the ALJ didn't believe that.
The ALJ, first of all, looking at her past relevant work, not just any sedentary work, and she did describe King's limitations for various things, but not the sitting. However, there are two reasons why she cannot perform her past relevant work, and one of them is the sitting, and one of the issue that's not even addressed at all by the ALJ, and that was a problem she had with weakness in her arm and tingling in her hands and fingers. Now, that's important because we're looking at her past relevant work as a medical transcriber and a medical secretary. Now, The vocational expert testified that her past relevant works require up to 6 hours of typing. That's significant for the sitting and for her ability to type. There's uncontroverted medical evidence that there was nerve conduction studies that provided underlying objective medical basis for her problems with her fingers and her hands. And on top of that, the claimant testified that she could that she would have problems typing now, and that she could begin to drop objects. This line of testimony and the underlying uncontroverted medical evidence was not addressed at all by the ALJ. Now, separately, with the issues of sitting, yes, there were debatable questions about her range of motion and various tenderness, but there is no debate about her underlying degenerative changes to her lumbar spine, which causes her pain in lower back, her neck, and which radiates through her legs. King's testimony is that after 30 to 45 minutes of sitting, that she has such pain in her lower back and her legs that she has to get up and stand for 20 minutes. Now, with those limitations, the vocational expert specifically ruled out any sedentary work that she might perform, including her past relevant work and any other sedentary work that she might could use transferable skills for.
What did Dr. Wu-Strauss find?
Wu-Strauss
find that she had a myriad of complaints at all times, but she did not have any complaint regarding her back, and furthermore that she demonstrated a full range of motion in all of her joints without any evidence of joint swelling.
Dr. Wu-Strauss has never consulted with as to her back pain, and this was in 96.
Furthermore, the doctor wrote, despite voicing a large number of complaints, Mrs. King did not complain about an inability to sit.
I don't believe Dr. Wu-Strauss specifically said that. That might have been
September 10th, 1996, and is the appellee's brief wrong? In error?
The appellee's brief is not wrong. My position is that Wu-Strauss did not specifically say, with all these problems that King has, she has not commented to me about her limitations sitting. This is Dr. Wu-Strauss was evaluating her.
Let me just read what it says. Dr. Wu-Strauss notes, in his notes from February 13, 1997, she said nothing about a limited ability to sit. The ALJ, therefore, had a very strong basis for noting that Mrs. King had no limitations as to sitting.
That's a correct assessment of Wu-Strauss. However, Dr. Wu-Strauss was seen for King's sarcoidosis.
Pardon me?
King's condition of sarcoidosis was a separate condition that Wu-Strauss was seeing her for. And the limitations of her range of motion, joint inflammation, and all that is discussed in a separate area of medical evidence. That has no bearing on the fact that she's already conclusively established that she has significant...
Well, is this inaccurate? What's in the appellee's brief on page 25?
That is accurate. Dr. Wu-Strauss did not say that she had a problem with her sitting. But that decision of King, if that is irrelevant. She was not seeing the doctor for her problems with her back pain or with her problems with sitting.
Well, I take it your position then is that this observation from the government is just that you can read Dr. Wu-Strauss's notes from February 13, 97, and you don't find anything about sitting.
That is correct. But we have a claimant here who's had, admittedly, a myriad of complaints, and she's had significant problems dating back all the way from 1992. Now, her back condition has been diagnosed time and time again as severe and degenerative and provides underlying medical basis for her complaints of pain. The fact that a doctor examining her for different conditions in 1996 or 1997 doesn't specifically talk her limitations of sitting or the pain in her back does
it
not
says
preclude.
That she didn't complain about not being able to sit.
That is correct.
That she did not complain about.
That is correct. And
well, doctors don't usually make a long list of all the things you didn't complain about in their notes.
She did
They'll
complain about that she complained about fatigue, coughing difficulties, sleeping. She wasn't active, and that she heard thumping in her ears. Thus, again, despite voicing a large number of complaints, she did not complain about an inability to sit.
I don't believe that the doctor was that quoted from the doctor, or is that their take on
it? It's in the appellee's brief.
Right. Our position is that the doctor herself is not saying, my patient's not complaining about her lower back. merely that the government is pointing out.
Talking about her ability to sit, I said right now.
Right. Or her ability to sit. Merely that the government noted that at that one particular point in time that she did not complain about her inability to sit. You see that our time is up?
Right, counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court, John Martin on behalf of Commissioner Barnhart. I think the court has the issue exactly right. What the issue in this case comes down to is, do you believe Ms. King's testimony that she can only sit 30 to 45 minutes at a time?
I hope it doesn't come down to whether we believe.
Well, was the ALJ correct in her decision?
No, was the ALJ supported by substantial evidence is the
right.
question, not
That's
whether
exactly
it's correct,
right.
not what we believe. Not any of the above.
Well, that's...
Well, it rests... I mean, the whole thing turns on that, right? Was there substantial evidence for the ALJ's credibility determinations, which she signals in the opinion, that this particular aspect... She finds that Ms. King is severely compromised by her medical problems and so on, but that particular limitation she doesn't think is as extreme as the testimony, if you accepted all of it, would indicate. What about the tingling in the fingers, though? How can you be a typist if you're making mistakes all the time because you don't have fine motor coordination anymore?
Well, that, I think, goes to the whole question in these cases, which is consistency. This person, now, let's go back. She assessed, or she claims she has an onset date of August 20th, 1993. However, she worked after that.
Right.
She worked until 1995. She did this type of work. And if you look at, again, if you look at the complaints she made, when she tells Dr. Wu Strauss in September of 96 that she stopped working, she said not, she didn't say, I stopped working because I was making so many mistakes. She said, I stopped working because the boss was mad at me because I had taken so much time off. So again, this is, and that's the crucial question, and that's what Judge Coffey has remarked upon, is that you look at the complaints she's made throughout the course of her treatment, and here again, she's not saying, I'm stopping working because I'm making so many mistakes. I'm not working anymore because the boss thinks I'm taking too much time off. Not only that, but there are statements from doctors about her finger dexterity and about the tingling. Well, that's from Dr. Leone again. Now, as I think, again, Judge Coffey pointed out, Dr. Leone, who saw this person during the period that she claims she is disabled, Dr. Leone saw her in April of 1995. Dr. Leone reported at TR 291, she has no difficulty while sitting. There's no evidence that contradicts that statement.
He's the one who sees her for 45 minutes?
Right. Dr. Leone says at the end that that's a 45-minute exam. That is correct. Also, Dr. Leone reports at 292, full range of motion in all joints, and can perform gross and fine manipulations bilaterally. So we do have a comment from a doctor about fine and gross dexterity. After that, on July 6th of 95, we have a statement from a physical therapist named Lizette Romero, and she says that patient denies numbness or tingling. Also, as regards to how severe this back pain is, the physical therapist, Ms. Romero, says that Ms. King at that time is rating her back pain at a 2 out of 10. So the back pain is not very severe, according again to Ms. King herself in July of 1995. As far as Wu Strauss goes, again, I think Judge Coffey has it exactly right. It really, what this doctor is treating Ms. King for really doesn't matter. This is a person who comes in, as Dr. Wu Strauss said, with a myriad of complaints. She always presents a lot of complaints, and they aren't always related to sarcoidosis.
But I just want to make one thing clear. I mean, what Dr. Wu Strauss actually said in her notes was, here are the things she complained about, and you are drawing it, or the ALJ drew a perhaps a perfectly reasonable inference that since this woman doesn't seem to be shy about talking about what's bothering her, it may be telling that she did not include on the list sitting. It's not like we have a sentence from Dr. Wu Strauss, and it was surprising to me that Ms. King didn't complain about sitting. There's just nothing there, right? So
that's
we're drawing
exactly
some
right.
inference from silence.
Certainly we are. And as we said, that's a But again, look at it in the context of this entire case. Even going back to prior to when she alleged disability, which is when most of the objective tests that plaintiff relies upon in her brief say are important, we have in about 2 months after she has alleged disability, she alleged it in August of 93. In November of 93, we have Dr. Chavria saying this is the person who can certainly look for sedentary work. In April of 95, as I said, we have Dr. Leon saying this is a person who has no limitations sitting.
And don't these, some of these conditions get worse over time?
And that's why, again, I'm drawing an inference here. I don't want to suggest I'm not, but I'm drawing an inference that if she had such excellent objective findings in 93, it should be not that hard to present findings in 95 or 96 that show a worsening in this condition. Yet she can't. Throughout her brief, she keeps referring to objective tests from 1992, 1993, from a doctor who says she can certainly look for sedentary work.
Isn't this actually just what Judge Easterbrook said, that you're arguing that she established that there was that there was substantial evidence for her, the ALJ, to find that she did not have all of these problems regarding her back, and that she could perform sedentary work in sitting and doing a typist work?
Yes. She can perform her job as that job is performed in the national economy, which requires sitting as much as 6 hours a day, and that's based on a statement from a doctor that says she has no limitations in sitting. And for those reasons, we ask you to affirm the ALJ's decision in this case as it is supported by substantial evidence.
Counsel, your time is up, but do you want another minute or so to call something to our attention that isn't there, that we haven't heard enough of, or that we should hear?
First of all, the medical evidence is not limited to 92 and 93 as far as the problems in King's back. We have x-rays from 1995 that describes reveal a greater degeneration actually had occurred in her lumbar spine. Reported near obliteration of her lumbosacral space and degenerative changes in her lumbar vertebrae. So this was from 1995. Additionally, the statements from 1993 were made by the Dr. Chavria, who recognized her disability but said she could look for sedentary work. First of all, we note that the doctor's definition of sedentary work is up for question. We don't know what he's referring to exactly. But second of all,
what do you think sedentary work is?
We're confined to the sedentary definition used in the Social Security regulations, which is predominantly sitting.
Do you think that that's what he's answering?
I'm sorry?
Don't you think that that's what the doctor is answering?
The doctor wasn't answering a question. He was merely reporting back in 1993 that she could look for sedentary work. But it's significant that, in fact, King did go out and look for work. She found part-time work at that point, and she had to quit that job due to her problems after re-injuring her back and arm, and then reapplied for benefits in 1995. She had initial application in 1993 for SSI, and then in 1995 she reapplied after she had to quit her job. See that the time?
Go ahead. Did you have something else?
Just like to point out again that was based on initial application. And the problems with her doctor, with Dr. Leon, I'd like to reiterate that we only have a 45-minute window into her time in a snapshot, whereas we have consistent complaints.
A doctor examined her for 45 minutes?
Correct.
How long should he examine her?
No, the
how long are most
that that the positions that is a snapshot in time, that when you look at her consistent complaints from 92 through the time of the hearing in 97, there's always complaints of her low back pain. And her pain in her legs, which is the basis for her problems in sitting.
Okay. Thank you very much. We will take the case under advisement. Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m.